Could one conviction, real belief in Jesus, change not only your eternity, but your family, your workplace, and even your public impact? How might your day look different if you fully embrace that everyone who believes receives Christ's righteousness and is called to bring God's truth and grace wherever they go? Discover how faith brings transformation, not just a ticket to heaven. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, if you're enjoying these devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that huddle. If you're in the Washington Defender app, place it in your huddle. Also, if you haven't become a monthly sponsor of FPIW or FPIW Action, I want to encourage you to jump on in at $5, $10, $20, whatever it is. We need your financial support and appreciate it greatly so we can keep ministering in the public square, giving salt and light to those around us, and really just sharing the word of God with those around us. Hey, we're going to get in. We're in a series called The Gospel, and everyone who believes is our theme for today. And we've been looking at Romans 1, 15 through 17. It says, "For my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ to you. Also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So I want to ask you, have you believed in the gospel message? And is it really for everyone who believes? Yeah. You think about this. The first thing we have to do is self-reflection. Have I believed in the gospel message? What does the idea of believe mean? It means to be fully persuaded, to be firmly convinced that it's something that we have placed our hope in. So with the idea of hope and certain expectation. So we have a certainty about the gospel message. It's not just simply, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and it's a lighthearted. It is a belief and hope in Jesus Christ that then transforms the way that we live our life, the way that we express our life, the way that we walk out our life in the public square, in our homes, in our churches, in our relationships, with our most intimate family members that we have, with our children, with whatever it might be, God, that God has called us into, that we would be able to walk out that belief, that faith in Jesus Christ. It is not just a lucky rabbit's foot that hopefully gets you into heaven, but it's really a change of worldview, right? So it's like I once had a worldview that if I went after alcohol and I went after women and I went after all these things, then I would be satisfied. And in this new biblical worldview, it says this: I've repented of those things and I've turned to the living God who only can bring me life and hope and righteousness and peace in those areas. And then I am satisfied. So as you go into the public square today, we're going to talk about your belief in Jesus. And I want to remind you of John 3:16, a very common verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You believe in Jesus Christ and you will not perish. You have eternal life, not only in the life to come, but right now you have eternal life abiding inside of you through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God loved you so much, he drew you to the cross. And we know that this is true, that he cares about it. We know God's heart is that the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now think about that for a moment. What is repentance? I was headed south and now I'm headed north. It is that I was headed east and now I'm headed west. I turn about, do an about face and start heading towards the living God. I reject the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from those things of this world, and I turn and find my satisfaction and my fulfillment in Jesus Christ, in God the Father, in the Holy Spirit. We understand something incredibly important, that repentance is a change of mind which produces a change of heart, which is then produces a change of action. Today, as you walk into that workplace today, it is a day of repentance, and it's to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, over Jesus. Think about this. Jesus came in the flesh, and now death is no longer the master over Jesus. He conquered sin and death. Do you believe in that? And if you do you believe that that applies inside of you? Because the same resurrection power that we talked about yesterday, that dunamis power, is inside of you. And it's that power that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to your mortal body. Think about that for a moment. That death is no longer our master. We're living in a time and age where it seems like death is all around us. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And that is our calling card. You in Washington State today have a calling card to live for Jesus today. And the life that you live it for to God. This is why we stand for righteousness in the public square. We stand for the right things of God, and we believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not because we want to shove it down the throat of others, but we want them to have the opportunity to know the peace and the care and the loving kindness of Almighty God, that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. What's the outcome? You are filled with righteousness. This is why you are irritated when you see things in the public square that are just contrary to what God would have us do. When the widows are attacked and somehow they, we are not treating them well in the public square, it irritates you. Why? Because righteousness dwells within you and God has a heart for the widows. When the orphans are attacked or killed in the womb or what have you, we know that that irritates us because that irritates God. That is sin. God becomes angry at that. And why? Because it does not honor him. We don't serve a God of death. We serve the God of life and life abundantly. And whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's why it irritates us. Now, what we do with that and how we communicate that and how we build relationship so that we can address those issues in the public square are incredibly important. And so we want you to know that the result is righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That we are able to take that public square stance before Almighty God because we understand that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. It is not just enough to say, hey, I acknowledge that Jesus was a person, a prophet, but the belief is, again, that you are firmly persuaded that he is your Messiah or your Lord. Yeshua is your Lord. And so he is your boss of your life. He is control of your life. He is he is sitting on the throne of your heart and in charge of your life. And we can be so, so confident in this. The word of God is close to us. Everyone who believes must come to a place of repentance where you're no longer pursuing sin, but you're pursuing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to please the one, to be in the presence of Almighty God and to do things that are honoring for him. When we see unrighteousness and unholiness all around us and sinfulness and a devouring and lawlessness all around us, we stand and we say, we know in whom we have believed and that he is able. He is able, and we are convinced that he is able to hold on to us to that day. And we're not going to head towards that self-righteous, self-proclaiming way. We are going to head towards righteousness that is only found through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he makes us spotless because he has cleansed us from the inside out. And everyone who believes lives to God. We live on behalf to God. We live for God. We no longer live for ourselves, but for him, to please him in all things. So you may have some choices to make at your workplace today. Do you tell a lie? Do you fudge on that report? What are you going to do today in being fully transparent and live out your faith in that workplace today? Is it going to be entering into the gossip and the slander and all the things that maybe coworkers and you are used to doing? Is it the coarse joking or the things that just come your way that you can fall into? And some of these things I have fallen into too. I know that God said, you got to be better at your humor, Brian, because it is not funny to me. And we need to learn that. We need to learn how to have fun and be excited in the things of God, but not to be inappropriate that we dishonor God. And so we want to encourage you that you confess Jesus as Lord. What does Lord mean? He's your boss. He's in control of your lives. That everyone who believes you have a result of righteousness dwelling in your heart and in your mind, God has you. He's paid the price for you. He loves you so very much. And that righteousness, you're going to walk in to your workplace and people are going to know that you're changed. I know when I went in back in my day before I knew Christ, when I was 19 or 20, and I went into my ITT tech, to my classroom. One day I was the class party animal who was getting drunk with everyone, who was doing all these kind of things, and I had to make a choice. Was I going to walk in the right things of God? God says, do not be drunk. Or am I going to walk in the things of my flesh? And so I went from the classroom drunk to what they called me, the preacher, which I just accepted Christ. That's all that was there. There wasn't a study of God's word yet. There wasn't, growing in the things of God. I was very ignorant of many of those things. And this is where we need to be people of righteousness, because salvation has come into our heart. We have been saved from that, and we have been transferred into the kingdom of God. So I hope that encourages you that everyone who believes is saved. It's through the gospel message. It's the power of God for salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that as we walk into our public spaces today, God, that we would carry the gospel message with us. Or more accurately stated, that we would recognize we are carrying the gospel message inside of us because we're followers of Jesus. Lord, help us to be bold that everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. And so, Lord, we want people to confess Jesus as Lord. We want people to proclaim it. Most importantly, let it start with us, that our confession, our lifestyle, all that we do would be in alignment with you. Go before us in all things, Lord. Surround us in all things. Let the gospel message be our light and our sword and our shield today. Lord, we're seeing so many injustices around us. We're seeing this idea of big government, overtaxation, all these kind of things, God. We're seeing it right and left, God. Let us be people who stand for righteousness and holiness, that the widow and the orphan would be taken care of, that we wouldn't kill off our kids, but we would stand for life and righteousness in the womb, that we wouldn't euthanize our elderly, but we would know that you are the keeper of life. God, that we would stand for righteousness, the right things of God when it comes to the public square, God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We worship you and you alone. We say that you are our King. Our citizenship is in heaven. The throne room is in heaven, that you are with us each and every step of the way. So go before us today. God, speak into our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, A simple way to let your voice be heard